continue to be thinking in these 4 weeks of Advent together about creation, with an eye also to new creation and the themes of Advent. Last time we looked at the first 2 chapters broadly and assessed the idea that Genesis 1 and 2 do not present a single connected plot about how the world began, but rather we find 2 different but interrelated ways of thinking about God and the world and our place in the world. This morning we're going to focus on the first of those 2 views of creation, what we find in Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 2:4a. Verse and chapter numbers were added much, much later to the texts, and sometimes chapter divisions correspond very neatly to a unit within the text. Sometimes they don't quite, and this is one of the places where they don't quite. This is a picture I took of a painting in the Art Museum in Denver, Colorado. It is painted by Edward Hicks, who between 1820 and 1849 painted nearly 100 depictions of this same scene. Hicks was a Quaker, preacher, and artist. He was, I think it's fair to say, perhaps not obsessed, but compelled to return again and again to these themes. In each of these nearly 100 paintings, we find animals, wild animals, tigers, lions, arrayed next to domestic animals, oxen, cows, sheep, and little children in the mix. You'll also notice over in the far left-hand corner another theme that pops up sometimes in these paintings by Hicks. It's William Penn making his treaty with the Lenni Lenape Indians around 1682, something that Hicks believed captured and expressed the theme that he saw in this image. All of these paintings are given the same title. They're all called The Peaceable Kingdom. The imagery comes, of course, from the passage from Isaiah that was shared in the sanctuary in our worship last Sunday. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, the weaned child put its hand on the adder's den, they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Glorious. Isaiah's image, in turn, seems to relate to the priestly ideas of creation we find expressed in Genesis 1. This is another of Hicks's Peaceable Kingdom paintings. I'm not quite sure where this one is. I understand we have one here in the Carnegie Museum. It's part of the collection. I don't think it's on display right now, but this is a different one. And also, a passage from toward the end of chapter 1. God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth. Every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them as food." My son Mark, the vegetarian, is not with us today. My sons Sean and Anthony are, though. It's great to have you here. Mark is very fond of pointing to this text. And certainly for the priests, their idea of the world of God's dream, the world as God would have it be, is a world in which there is no conflict, a world in which nothing has to die so that something else can live. A world without carnivores, a world without predation. That's the world that is painted in Genesis 1, an ordered, patterned, peaceable world. However, as we saw last time, that ordered world emerges in the minds of Israel's priests, the authors of this first chapter, out of conflict and chaos. Let me correct that. Out of chaos. Hold on the conflict for a moment. In Genesis 1:1-2, we read, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was tohu avohu," is the Hebrew, formless void, without order, without pattern. Darkness covered the face of tehom. In Hebrew, it means the deep. A wind from God, or the breath of God, or the Spirit of God, all are possible translations of the phrase Ruach Elohim. Ruach is a marvelously ambiguous word in Hebrew. Its root meaning is breath. Breath. And by extension, Ruach can mean wind. And also by extension, since if you're not breathing, you're not doing well, Ruach refers to the empowering, enlivening agency within people, the spirit, we might put it. So Ruach Elohim is the phrase. Is it a wind from God? Is it the breath of God? Is it the Spirit of God? Well, it seems to be all three. Moving over the face of Hamayim, the waters. The image, as we saw last time, is of water, shapeless, formless, tossing, turning, chaotic water. Into that chaos comes the creative act of the divine.